Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John 12. This is some of my favorite scripture. I love this from a relational lens. I think one of the great errors of the West is that we have turned union with God into a transactional thing instead of a relational thing. I think that's a grave error that we have made. Starting with Martin Luther and John Calvin and guys like this. When I say Western, I'm not just talking about America, 21st century. Is that we have turned this into a transactional deal. And his heart from the jump is that this is relational. Get out of the courtroom and get in the bedroom. And I don't mean that any kind of. But we need to get out of the courtroom and get into the intimate chambers with God. Because that's what he shows up for. James is talking about the cost of worship, and I agree with what he said. There's, you know, we come in and we say, oh, consider the cost, consider the cost. You know, two people that weren't even considering the cost as a point of emphasis. Let me say this, as a point of emphasis in that story, Jesus and Mary. Them, it was just a love thing. It was a worship thing. She wasn't going like, oh, there goes my vacation to Cabo. And Jesus wasn't, there goes your vacation to Cabo. Their emphasis on that, was their cost to say? Absolutely. Absolutely. John recognized it. He wrote about it. Judas and other disciples. In Luke, it was plural. Other disciples looked at it and said, man, we could have done a lot with that. So they are recognizing this. But love looks beyond that. And that's why I don't see Jesus emphasizing this or Mary emphasizing this. To them, it was a moot point. To them, it was, this is an opportunity for me to show you how much you mean to me, both ways. She went past the gate. As I said earlier, I hope that's resonated with y'all because that was a good word. She went past the gate of honor and she went into the gate of intimate worship. And when you go past the gate of honor, everybody can do that and still have their self-dignity together. But when you go past the gate of honor and you go into the gate of uncontrollable worship, you can stay in the courtroom and have honor. But when you go to the intimate places where he's, where he wants to take us. And see, it's coming from, and I wrote this as the title of this message, is living from a place of union instead of to a place of union. Everybody, are y'all grasping the difference in that? Because living to a place of union is us, if I do enough. The rich young ruler, where he came to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to get there? And we've got all of these formulas, and this is what you do. And then eventually you will be in a place of union. And God was like, I do not want you to wait till you get to some distant place of a disembodied soul to see me face to face and be in perfect union with me. I want it to be now. See, I showed up for the walk when you were a cussing, spitting 17-year-old. All you want to do is win state. He said, I was showing up for the walk then, Brett House. I was showing up for the walk then. And the reason I love this scripture so much in John 12 is because this is a picture of perfect, beautiful union before the cross. And we say the cross fixed everything. His love fixed everything. The cross is what he hung on to demonstrate it. But his love fixed everything. I'm still weighing this out in my mind and trying to, boy, process and all of this stuff. I recently heard a theologian and he said the cross was not necessary to God, but it was because he was healing people before the cross. He was walking in union with people before the cross. And I'm not diminishing the cross. Please do not hear that's what I'm saying. But he was doing all of these things before the cross. Was the cross significant? Yes, the cross was for us. His blood was significant. I'm not taking anything. I am not. Like I said, I'm just trying to process all of this stuff. He's actually got me on a pretty excited journey. And it doesn't diminish Jesus. It elevates Jesus. And I'm so thankful for this week, and I'm so thankful for what it means and what it shows to us and what it demonstrates to us. But it was not something that held God hostage. And I love this, and I feel it, man. I feel the pushback. I love this because this was happening even before. My story didn't start the day I said yes in the traditional way. My story started before then. And people ask me, say, well, when did you get saved? And I'm like, I don't know. And the next question I would ask you is, saved from what? The word we use for saved is sozo. And that's complete healing, complete wholeness. So I think we're all on this journey, but what we do is we check a box. And if that's the case, Jesus was checking boxes before I even knew there were boxes there to be checked. I can tell you different events in my life. But I can never think back to a time when he wasn't there. Can you ever think back to a day in your life where he wasn't there? I can never think back to a day when he wasn't there, and my children's life or my grandchildren's life. And he desires for us to live in this ever-present awareness that he has always been pursuing you. And he's always showed up for the walk with you. There's never been a time when he wasn't there. This baby has never experienced a moment apart from his presence. He or she may have periods in their life where they're not aware of his presence. I hope not. But there'll never be a moment in his or her life where he's not present. And so I love this picture. I'm sorry, I don't mean to. I feel like I just threw a hand grenade in the middle of the room. In the scripture, I love this because I see the picture of union. I see living from a place of union. Everything that Jesus did, he lived from a place of union, not to a place of union. It wasn't, Mary, this is going to be great after I do all these things and after your disembodied soul comes up to heaven to be with me. This is going to be amazing. This is a picture of amazing right now. And I'm not saying this is all there is. No, there is more. But we kick it way down the road. I don't want to spend my life not knowing the depth of her love for me or her knowing the depth of my love for her or my children or my grandchildren or you. And he does not want us to spend our life not knowing the depth of his love for us. So in this, with Jesus, everything he did was living from a place of union. It was the cornerstone of his incarnate existence. You remember before he washed the disciples' feet in John 13, was about to take the Last Supper, was about to go through all the trial and the beating and all of that stuff and the cross and everything. It said, Jesus, knowing where he came from, where he was going, who he was, who his Father was, who he was in union with, he had no problem laying aside his rabbi robe and girding a towel and putting it around his waist and getting down and washing everybody's feet, including Judas. So he showed up for the walk for Judas hours before Judas was to betray him. Minutes before it says that Satan finally put betrayal, finalized the deal in Judas's heart. And he still showed up for the walk. So everything that Jesus did was coming from a place of union with the Father and union with his creation. See, to him it was already settled. It settled from the foundation. It was settled when he showed up and appeared to Abraham. It wasn't ever a question of if. And he had such a heart for it. In Luke 19, he weeps over Jerusalem and said, peace is within your reach. Peace is within your reach. It's right here. The kingdom of heaven is here and now. It's right here. do we choose to be in union with Him? Union with Him and His world. And this picture in here is just so amazing because of who all was there, what all was going on, what it was precluding, what He was about to do the very next day. See, in our time, this happened last night, Saturday night, Palm Sunday, Sunday morning, in our time. This happened last night while you were eating whatever you were eating, doing whatever you were doing. This is what was going on in John 12. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. So He's in this little village of Bethany, which is outside of Jerusalem. It says, there they made Him a supper. Now, one of the other Gospels, it's in Mark and Matthew, this is recorded also. In one of the other Gospels, it says that He was eating at Simon the leper's house. It calls it out and said it was at Simon the leper's house. So I love this picture of everybody that is there, what they represent, who they represent, the community there, the way they are doing life together. And the one common denominator in all of this is what? Jesus. The one common denominator is Jesus. And it comes in and it says that Lazarus, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead, there they made Him a supper. He was the guest of honor. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was this not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. One of the other Gospels, I don't remember if it was Matthew or Mark, puts a plural on this. Judas was not the only one that was questioning what all we could have done with this money. What all we could have achieved with this money. And Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of My burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but Me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom He raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I can imagine in my mind what this picture looked like. Because if you think of the homes, and we have no idea how big this home was back then, but it wasn't a traditional that they're going to come in and they've got these Pella windows and they're all locked up inside and all of this. And all. And from what I can visualize on this, from the scriptures, you had this group of people that were doing life union with Jesus, but we also had this group of people that were wanting to see Lazarus and Jesus because of what all He had done in their lives. And so I can imagine there were some that got an invite that maybe they were on the periphery. There were some that were probably on the outside of the house peeking in through the windows. So, man, there's Lazarus over there. And that's Jesus. And so everyone is sitting there pressing in, wanting to see what union looks like. Wanting to see what this unique life looks like. We talk about wanting to be like the first century church. I agree. This is a picture of the first century church before the church was the church. Because some people said, God has done something radical in my life, and I choose to do union with Him now. I can imagine Simon the leper hosting this thing. I personally love Martha in this story. Y'all remember one time Martha got scolded? I'm not going to say Jesus scolded. He corrected her. And you know why He corrected her? She was serving. Mary was sitting at His feet. She was complaining because Mary wasn't doing anything to help her. She was so task-oriented that it was a burden to her. The day that this becomes a burden to me, it's probably a day I need to check myself, because something's gotten off kilter. Errol said they had a lot going on with the kids this morning on Easter experience and all that, which I think is awesome. I pray some of them have just some amazing burning in the heart taking place, whether they realize what's going on or not. There's a burning in the heart. I pray that they come to the revelation sooner than later. But I said, well, y'all got a lot going on. I said, does that mean I can preach 2 hours this morning? She said, no, I think we're good, Dad. I'm not struggling to find content, I guess is what I'm saying. When we come in and that becomes such a task that we're feeling like, and it happens, man. You look at Elijah and he's like, I'm the only one left serving you, Lord. And he said, Elijah, I still got 7,000 ain't bowed a knee to Baal, man. You're not the only one. Quit having a pity party. And you're looking at it through the wrong lens. See, the first time the first time Martha was looking at living to union. The second time, did nobody scold her? Nobody corrected her. Nobody told her Mary's chosen something better. I believe personally the second time Martha was celebrating Mary instead of complaining about Mary. I believe Martha was sitting there looking at this and said, this is beautiful. This is amazing. There was no correction going on this time, because she was looking at it through the proper lens. And that's what union does. She was serving from a place of union instead of serving to a place of union. You're getting the difference. Keith, I hope Thursday's not a burden. I hope Sunday's not a burden. Me and Scott right here putting pine straw out this week. And I'm sitting here doing this and got a good attitude in doing it. I hate the wind kind of wreaked havoc on it. We're going to have to redo some stuff this week. But I'm sitting there and the Lord's like, I love your worship. And I wasn't singing, I was slinging pine straw. And Nick, I was right out there and he said, I love your worship. Because it was not a task that, well, this is my responsibility, and if I don't do this, it ain't going to get done, and do the whole preacher belly aching that 10% of the people do 90% of the work, and 10% of the people do 90% of the giving. I've heard it my whole life. I've said it my whole life. And the Lord says, do what's in your heart, and don't worry about everybody else. I'm going to say, Lord, with joy, I sling pine straw today. With joy, I cook whatever we're cooking Thursday. And I serve. Instead of sitting there saying, well, if y'all get a job, you wouldn't have to be in here. Just say, Lord, it's with joy. I serve and I worship you. And he says, if you're doing it to the least of these, you're doing it unto me. I love the fact that Martha was so comfortable. This tells you what our community should look like. Our Christian community should look like. She was so comfortable. She was in another man's house and she was hosting in another man's house. And I believe he was there. I believe he was healed at this point. But she was in Simon the leper's house and she was hosting. And you should be so comfortable in who you are in your union with Christ. Then I can host when seemingly I'm a stranger, but I'm not a stranger. And I love that. She's sitting here and she's hosting in another man's house. And nobody is saying you've chose the lesser thing. It's all just going on and it's beautiful. And I see Lazarus is one that is born again. That's something Marty says to me all the time when we're texting. Me and Marty, we text back and forth a lot. I love y'all's dad. I'm so thankful for him. because he adds into my life, and I know I add into his life. But we'll get on some kind of way, and we'll dive in a rabbit hole together, and we'll just text back and forth on that rabbit hole, provoking thought and stirring things and all that. But he's got a phrase, and he says it's a lot. I bet you could go through my phone and see a bunch of times. He said, I feel like I'm being born again. And that constant rebirth, the constant awakening to the reality of the presence of union with the Lord in the now. In the now. We were having dinner with friends this week, and they're about to have a baby, and she was talking about how much time she's going to get off. She's a lawyer. I think she's going to take like 12 weeks or something like that. And her husband, I forgot how many weeks he said he was going to take off, but they said, we know we'll never get this time back again. And I love that statement. They know we'll never get this time back again. And that is being present in the moment. And we do it with life, but we don't do it with the Lord. Because we always kick it down to the eternity thing and mash the eternity button. And he said, eternity is now. Welcome to eternity. Because you're in it right now. Will it look different? Yes. When all things are made, it's going to look different. I don't know if it'll be here, if it'll be there. Be great wherever it is. But I don't want to wait until then for it to be great. I don't want to wait until then until my journey is great. That's what the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. And he's already in all these places. He said, I want to know him more. I want to know him deeper. And you've got Lazarus in this moment. You've got Martha in this moment. You've got Mary coming in this moment. We've already talked two or three times today about what Mary did, how beautiful it was. You see, there was, and all of it's great, but Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they took Jesus' body off the cross and they anointed it and they put it in the tomb. I love that. That is a wonderful story to me. That's amazing because they're like, I don't care who sees it. Don't think that wasn't a focal point of religious leaders and the Roman authorities. Who's coming and going? We'll find out who his true worshipers are. And they came. I love that. But what Mary did to me was even more beautiful than that. Because while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, toiling, you know what he smelled? Spikenard. He smelled that. When he was sweating drops of blood, he could smell what she had done a few days earlier. I believe it was probably that strong and probably that fragrant that it was anything that gets I love sage. Remember me and Errol, first time I went out to Wyoming, we went out on a mule deer hunt, and it was where we were hunting on the ranch. It was just sage everywhere. And if you've ever been around, there's a lot of different types of sage. But the sage everywhere, and as you would step, you would crush it, and it just lets out this smell, and I love the smell. When I go walking and hiking out there, and I'll just be out with the dogs, and I'll just be breaking off pieces of sage and rolling it in my fingers, smell it. Any kind of slight, the slightest whiff, and it all of a sudden, all of those things are magnified in my senses. And I believe this was with Jesus. Because we say, man, it was 6 days before he was beaten with a whip. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane the next night. And he smelled like that. And I believe the word said that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I love the fact that she did it beforehand. Because you notice what Jesus said about it? It said, she's anointed me for my burial. Who anointed him for his burial? Joseph And Nicodemus did also. But he said, she's anointed me for my burial, and she just did it beforehand. I want us to be a people that do it beforehand. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody's going to behold him with an open face someday. I just don't want to wait till then to do it. I want to do it now. Both of them did it. This is taking a little turn right here. Mary did it. Joseph and Nicodemus did it. She just did it beforehand. She could have saved it till afterwards, and she could have put it on the... I don't want to love her more after she's dead than I do when she's alive. If she passes before I do. And vice versa. I don't want her to think back, boy, he was amazing. He was a good husband. He loved me. He loved the family and all of that. And looking back, and I'm going to honor him and all of this stuff. Great, man. Do it in life. And she worshiped and she honored and she he said she anointed me for my burial. I'll high five you, Joseph of Arimathea. That was great what you did. You gave him your tomb. That's amazing. But boy, we have an opportunity to be a Mary and not a Joseph. Your life is set in front of you. You have an opportunity to be a Mary and not a Joseph. And that's not a knock on him. That's just one's better than the other to me. Because this whole week, that's fresh on Jesus' mind. That whole week. That's there. It said the whole house was filled with the odor. The whole house was filled with the odor. The people that were in there smelled it. The people that were outside peeking in the windows, they smelled it. There was a faintness that was on everybody's clothes. Only two really smelled like it big time, and that was her and Jesus. Last night I was barbecuing on the grill, and you know what? When I got through, what did my clothes smell like? Smoke. I want you to get smoky just being around me, Nick Quiet. That my worship and my pursuit of him is just relentless because his pursuit of me is relentless. His showing up is relentless. And I want you to smell smoky because you're around that. After what they saw, many of them saw the night before, it probably wasn't a problem for them to go out the very next day and throw their prayer shawls on a donkey or cut some palm branches and lay on the road for Jesus to walk down. My gosh, she did that. What can I do? She did that. What can I do? How will you fill your space? Remember the Pharisees got mad and got chapped about it, and they said, tell Jesus to tell all these people to quit, to be quiet, because they were saying, Hosanna, come save us. That's what it means. Hosanna means, oh, save us. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one that comes in the name of Yahweh, that Yahweh has sent. And they said, tell disciples, tell the people to be quiet. And he said, I tell you the truth, if they're quiet, the rocks are going to start crying out. So they're filling this space with worship. Talking about contagious Christianity. And understanding also what my worship looks like. I believe this time around, Martha's service was straight up pure worship. You got the gift of hospitality. That's a gift from the Lord. You know why I know it's a gift from the Lord? Because He is hospitable. He hosts well. So when you are hosting well, whether it's in somebody else's kitchen Thursday and Sunday, whether it's in somebody else's kitchen, I can host sitting in Gabe's restaurant and host well. Even though I ain't got a spatula in my hand, I can host well. And it can look just like worship. It can look just like worship. It can be worship. And I see all this going on in the now. Simon's like, man, I want to do something for the Lord. Let's have a dinner in honor of Jesus in our place. He comes in. And he's there. Someone that had lost everything through separation from the community. He was never separated from God. Let me say that. He was ostracized from society, but he was never ostracized from God. Jesus shows that in the way he embraced lepers. Jesus wasn't afraid to touch a leper. They said, you may be ostracized from community, you ain't ostracized from me. They'd be like, unclean, unclean, which is Jewish law. And Jesus is like, no. I'm touching you in that place of leprosy. That's who Simon was. You know why Simon loved Jesus so much? Isaac, because he showed up for the walk when he was covered in sores. When the Jewish community said, you can't even live in your own home because what you got's contagious. And Jesus said, I believe in the redemptive power of me more than I believe in the infectious power of leprosy. So here I am. I don't care what your spots look like. I don't care what your spots used to look like. Gomer. He keeps coming and buying you back. I'm going to go back to my old ways. That's all right, I'll buy you back again. I'll go back to my old ways. I'll buy you back again. That's the beauty of our Lord. That's the beauty of Jesus, Robin. That's what I see in this picture. So that's why he loved Jerusalem when he looked on Jerusalem. The power of what I intended and designed it to be. My heart for union. My heart for union. I want you, if you get anything this morning, I just want you to know his heart for union with you now. Anthony, you said a prayer. That's great, man. You received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's great. I mean, that's beautiful. That's part of the journey. That's part of the journey. But it's not just so it can be a... distant event. This is going to sound weird to you, but... Maybe it's non-spiritual, but I think you'll get what I'm talking about. Because I saw the same thing in you the other day, Nick. Nick came over to the house, borrowed a lawnmower. He's like, I think you might have said this, or maybe I'm imagining this part, but you said, I probably smell a little smoky, man. I got all this protein on the grill. I said, what are you cooking? He told me what all he was cooking. Excitement in his voice. I'm serious, excitement in his voice. You were enjoying that meal before you ever put a morsel in your mouth. I did that yesterday. I put the pellet grill, and I know that's cheating, but I put the pellet grill on 260 and had a couple racks of ribs. I've been marinating all morning, put them babies in there, and I'm like, all right, me and Lori went to hunt, Lisa, we're going for a walk. We're going to be gone a couple hours. The whole, not the whole time, but nearly the whole time we were walking over at the hunt and lease, You know what I was talking about? Those ribs. I'm like, oh, they're going to be tender. I can tell when I stripped that membrane off a back, them things about fell off the bone before I even started cooking them. This is going to be good. She said, is that all you thinking about? I said, well, I can taste it right now. I enjoyed those ribs all day long. I didn't have to wait till 6 o'clock when I put a bite in my mouth. It did not disappoint. But I enjoyed them all day long. I just enjoyed them on different levels in a different realm. My belly wasn't full, but my senses were stimulated. My heart burned. I'm dumbing it down a little bit, but you know what I'm saying? Enjoy union now. Live from a place of union, not desperately to a place of union. That if I remember a conversation I had with one of my fly fishing guides. Been a few years now. Yes, our dude Anthony, you know him. He said, I just hope I can do enough. We were talking about God. He's a Catholic background. He said, I just hope I can do enough good to one day. I'm like, dude, that ain't what it's about. I appreciate your sincerity. But the reality is you can never do enough good. You can strive and you can serve, but the better thing is resting in what he's done. That's living from a place of union. Living from a place of union. What he did, what he established. I'm always tentative to say that, but I guess it is. He established it. He loves you that much. He desires you that much. I want my... When did you find the Lord? How old were you? Ballpark. It ain't got to be exact. 25. I'm thankful your children found him much sooner. Y'all know what I mean when I say found him. Awakened to the reality of him being there. I believe in your grandchildren will find him even sooner. I'm believing your baby is aware of the presence of the Lord right now in your womb. All I know is peace. All I know is hope. Not that he's in there like, boy, I know I'm going to make a ton of mistakes and I'm going to be the prodigal one day, but eventually I'll come back to God. It's like, I'm never going to be separate from the love of the Father because I understand his nature. Because I've seen his nature in my mom and dad. I've seen his nature in community. I've seen his nature in the, you fill in the blank who you want it to be. Lazarus, Simon, Mary, Martha. I've seen his nature in that. I've seen his nature in Keith Carter. I smelled a fragrance. I smelled a fragrance. And it was different from the world, and you know what it will be? It'll be a deep calling out to deep. That's what the road to Emmaus is. It's a deep calling out to deep. I just want them to get it now instead of later. They're going to get it. But I want them to know it now. Living from a place of union. Right? Man, I love you guys. I love doing life with y'all. I love community with y'all. I love this journey that we're on. Every one of us is different. Every one of us is in different places going through different things. We're at a different spot in our life journey and our life story, but we have one thing in common, and y'all know what that is. Jesus. So that makes us in union with each other. That was his prayer. What he told the disciples, and I think it was John 17. So he was talking about his union with the Lord and our union with him, or, you know, with Yahweh, our union with him, our union with each other. And it wasn't just, man, I pray y'all get along good. We're in this union thing together, Brett, because of our union with Christ. And if any of us walk down a trail of, whether it's indifference, because that's been me before, it could be sin, it could be rebellion, it could be whatever. If we don't walk down that trail, I want you to be comforted by the fact, if your kid does it, listen to me, if your kid does it, because our kids don't always, you know, I'm speaking hypothetically, you know, Lee and Errol, our kids don't always do what maybe we know to be right or think to be right and all of that stuff. Have confidence in knowing that he still shows up for the walk with them. And it may take them a while to feel the burning in the heart, but I believe they'll feel the burning in the heart. The best thing we can do is show them the true nature of the Father. Because both of the prodigal sons didn't understand the true nature of the Father. Neither one of them. They both were wrong on the nature of the Father. That was their big mistake, both of them. But I'm convinced. If you take a side trail you don't need to take, Judah, I'm convinced he's still going to show up for the walk. I'm convinced of that. And that's living from a place of union. That doesn't give you liberty to go out and just live however you want to, but that gives you the freedom. You know what? If I make a mistake, there may be some consequences I have to deal with, but he is not going to abandon me. If I take a path I don't need to take, he is not going to abandon me. There may be consequences, but there is not abandonment. That's living life from a place of union. Y'all stand to your feet. I know I went a long time. I'm sorry. I've never been more excited about anything in my faith journey in my life before than where we are right now. I promise you. Never been more excited. Because when I see that picture, I see us. I see us. I see us. And I want to give you a grace to be you. Because there is only one Nick White. And I don't mean that as a good thing. I want to give you a grace to be you. Because he will never abandon you. Jesus said that about his Father. He said he'll never abandon you. He'll never abandon me. So I give you the grace to be Robin. And the thing we have in common is we will sit at Simon's table and we'll watch Martha serve and Mary worship. And sometimes we get to be one of those. And sometimes we get to sit back and watch. I have so enjoyed watching you this past year. I have. It's been fun. It's been encouraging. I smelled spikenard watching you. And it's, I don't mean to offend you, but it has very little to do with your goodness. And it's got everything to do with His goodness. Because when I look at you, I look at me. And I look at you, and I look at you, and I look at you. I'm not saying that you were. I've just seen passion stir and be renewed. Wonder. The mystery and all of this God that I want to know more. I hadn't checked all the boxes. I want to know more. That's what I've enjoyed watching. And Him show up for that walk every single day. Even days when I checked out or didn't get up, He still showed up for the walk. Whew. That's fun to watch. That's the God I serve. It's the God I love. That's the God that loves me. That's the God that walked the triumphal entry into Jerusalem for us, as us. And hung on a cross on Friday. And came out of a grave. And conquered everything. That was His showing us. His proof to us how much He loves us. And that He is who He said He was. Amen. All right. Y'all ready to dismiss? Let's do it. I hope you guys have an amazing week this week. I hope that, slow down, please listen to me, slow down throughout the week. I know there's going to be, your kids may have 6 ball games this week and 50 hours at work and all of the craziness that goes with life, but slow down, especially on Friday, and spend some contemplative time, and you can do that while you're busy. Dude, I do that on tractor all the time while I'm working. But slow down in your mind and your heart. Some contemplative time about Him and how much He loves you and what He did for you this week 2,000 years ago. I know we're just throwing out dates. God's not constrained by time. But slow down in that. Let His love be a soak in the tub for you. Amen. During the week, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of noise, in the midst of confusion. Just the next chapter over, Father God spoke, and some people said it thundered. Some people said that the angel spoke to Him, but He heard clearly the Father's voice. Slow down enough that it's not thunder, it's not angels, but you hear the Father's voice, and He'll be singing a love song over you. All right? Next Sunday, we'll be out here at 6:45. All right, that's my, well, you got to go, dude. Keith Carter, dismiss us, brother, please.